Aeronautical University, where he majored in aeronautical science. Bruce received the call to minister at the age of 17 years old, and he currently attends Ebenezer Christian Missionary Alliance in Newark, New Jersey, where he preaches the word of God and leads Bible study lessons. Bruce is married to his beautiful wife, Kathia Saeed, and has two children, Kaylee at the age of 6 and Bryce at the age of 3. He has been in church all of his life, and he has recently expanded his ministry to starting a healing and deliverance ministry. His vision is to heal everyone and to see everyone set free of demonic oppression. Help me welcome Bruce Saeed.
Get this mic. Thank you for that beautiful introduction. That was awesome. I'm like, man, this guy sounds awesome. Can you guys help me sing a song real quick before I preach and get us out of here? We're going to sing Light of the World, and then we're going to preach, and then we're going to go. Amen? So I'm going to need the help of the worship team and then the musicians.
You step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Hope of a life spent with you.
Away to you, Father. Here we're about to receive your word. I ask that you decrease me, Father, and increase in me, Holy Spirit, that the words I speak may not be mine, but of yours, Father. Speak to your people today. Seed your people this day. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 We are a little bit light today, so I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. And this is a weird favor, but I just feel like doing it. So for those of us who are on Facebook and Twitter and everything like that, I'm going to ask you to preach with me with the people that you invited that didn't come tonight. Amen. So if you get a tweetable moment, tweet it. It's okay. While I'm preaching, I'm okay with that. If you get a Facebook, and I should put this on Facebook right now. Put it on Facebook right now. Help me preach to the people that shouldn't be here as well. Amen. Is that okay? Can we do that? Is that too unorthodox? Is that too far? No. Okay. Amen. All right. We are going to open our Bibles quickly, and we're going to read a couple of verses, and then we're going to go on with it. So let's open our Bibles to Genesis 1, verse 1 till 3. Genesis 1, verse 1 till 3. So it's the first book of the Bible, so you can't really not, you know, find it. It's the first one. So, and it's the first verse, so we're just going to be in the beginning. And I'll read. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Amen. Let's move on to Matthew 5, verse 14 real quick. And I'll just read it just to save time. Matthew 5, verse 14. It reads, you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. And then now we move down one more to Luke 8, verse 16 and 17, which we read, which is where we find our theme for this conference, Lights Out. And it means, no one lights a lamp and hides it in a clay jar or puts it under the bed. Instead, they put it on the stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that would not be made known or brought out into the open. Amen? So we're going to go a little bit and talk about, you know, lights out. I'm guessing this is a question more or a statement, right? Not turn the lights out, because we're going to turn the lights on. Amen? No, you guys don't get it later. Okay. We're gonna turn the lights on eventually. Amen. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, we read. And then in verse 2, we find the earth is void, empty, and dark. I'm going to put a side note here because that's a different sermon. But that's not the same world that God created, by the way, in Genesis 1. Just because if you read the Bible and understand who God is, well, the Bible says himself, everything that God created is what? Beautiful, right? The work of his hands are perfect. So he can't create a formless, void, empty, dark world. You agree with me? Does that make sense? So there's something in between 1 and 2. I'm not going to preach that tonight. That's not where we're going. That was just a little side note. So we find this earth dark and empty. Nothing good is going on in the darkness. It's without any form. It's formless. It's void. You don't want to be in that place. Amen? So before God does anything else, before the trees come, before we come, before whatever, he said, let there be light. Let there be light. Because why? Because it was formless, empty, void, and darkness. God's like, I can't work in this void, dark place. So let there be light. Tell somebody to turn the light on. Tell somebody else to turn the light on. So God said, let there be light. The interesting thing about God saying, let there be light in verse 2 is that the sun didn't get created until the fourth day. So it's like verse 15 in Genesis. Amen? So he said, let there be light. There was light, but it wasn't the sun. It wasn't the moon, nor the stars, because all those got created in day 4. I mean, you got to do some reading yourself. I'm not going to give you everything away. But he says, let there be light. So my question is, what is that light? Where did you get this illumination from God? Because the sun, which we know, which is very bright, is not made yet. The moon, which kind of lights the night, is not here yet. The stars are not even set into place. So where is this illumination coming from? It's a good question to ask. You should ask that about the Bible sometime. But you know what? I'm not doing Bible study, so I'm going to help you out today. Can somebody open their Bibles for me? And turn to Revelation 21, verse 23. We're going to move. You know what? Today, since it's Thursday and we got to go to school tomorrow, I'm not going to keep you guys long. So today I'm going to, as you guys find that verse, but for somebody to find it, let me know. I'm going to have you read it. But today we're going to go global. And then tomorrow we're going to bring in more local or more personal. Is that okay? So today we're going to speak more globally, and then tomorrow we're going to talk about you personally. So somebody find Revelation 21, verse 23 for me. Anybody got that? Go ahead. Amen. Did you guys get that? That's Revelation 21. So to find out who the light is, we have to go to the end of the Bible. You got to read your Bible. Oh my God. The Bible make you read your Bible. So from Genesis 1, you got to go all the way to the end to find out who that light is. It's none other than Jesus. Amen? It's none other than, he says, let there be. He said, you know what? God's like, man, Jesus, let it be so I could make this happen. He says, be so I can make this happen. Because he is the light. Jesus is the light. He's the light of the world. He's the light in the beginning. He's the light in the end. It's very clear here in Revelation. There's no sun. There's no moon for the city. This is the new Jerusalem in heaven. We're speaking about on earth. And then is that there's no sun. There's no moon. Because he is the light. He is the lamp. Jesus is that light. And he's that same light. That was when God said, let there be light, because it wasn't the sun. Amen? You guys getting it? You guys should tweet that. You should tweet that. I wanted to tweet that when God revealed that to me. I'm like, that's awesome. So God said, let Jesus be. And then we already know through him, by him, for him, everything was created. So thus creation happened. You know, we came about, so on and so forth. The plants and the sun and the moon, everything there came after. And then when in 26, this is in Genesis verse 26, he said, let's make man in our image, in our likeness. Okay? And then that's when we came. But we are made in his image, and we are made in his likeness. So I want you guys to grab that. We are made in his image and his likeness. Truthfully, a lot of his characteristics and abilities we have. Because that's what God said. God had never created any other creature or any other being in his image or likeness. Besides us, the angels, not like him. The animals, not like him. Nothing on earth and heaven besides us have his attributes. We are the only ones who have his attributes. We are like God because we are made by him, for him, through him, in his image and in his likeness. We're going to keep that on the side now. Then we're going to move forward. I was trying to get some stats about our time and try and get some information. And I did. It was a lot of information how our world now is dark. But I mean, and as I was doing all this research and pulling all these stats, I'm like, I really don't need any stats. It is very evident that we are living in a decreasingly, like more morality is decreasingly going away. What seemed to be shameful is now proudly, you know, viewed or proudly put in the front of you nowadays. Poverty is rampant. Disease is rampant. Greed is rampant. The rich will stay rich. There's really no unity. Crime is at its all time. But I don't need to pull stats for that because you guys know that. You see it every day. You live it every day. One way or the other, we are in it. I mean, our global economy right now is in turmoil, for lack of a better word. And that could put a lot of stress on people who have homes and houses and or building a finance or whatever, or people who are just getting out of college or going into college, because you're like, man, I'm going to get my degree, and then what? I can't even get a job. I got my bachelor's, my master's, my other master's, my thing after the master's, that, and my PhD, and then that thing after that. I got mad paper, but no money. I got all diplomas on my wall. They're looking good, but not doing me anything because of our economy, you know, the state of the economy. So I don't need to really go hard to paint a picture that this is a dark world that we live in. I don't need to emphasize on the problems. So in the beginning, God said, let there be light. And then in Matthew 25, God says, you are the light. And he wasn't talking to Jesus at that time. Jesus was talking. He was talking to you and I. You are the light of the world. You are the salt. You are the light of the world. See, God needed the light to do his work. And at day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, six, and so on, he said, it is good. He did it, and he said, it is good. He did it, and he said, it's good. But it was all done in the light. You are the light of the world. It is time for you to say, it is good. Our theme says the light is not put underneath or hidden, for the lack of better words. So you are the light of the world. My question is your light hidden? Is your light dimmed? Are you on top of a hill, or are you underneath a bed? Where is your light? Because truth is, we all are the light. And I'm going to give you two reasons why you're the light, and then we're going to get out of here. I'm telling you, I'm not going to give you guys long tonight because it's a school night. But I want you guys to get this because it's very important. First of all, Jesus abides in us. The light that was in Genesis, the light that will be in Revelation, is the light that is right now. You get it? The light that was in Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. Then he went to work. And the light that is in Genesis, where there's no sun, no moon, no stars, is the light that's in you right now. And it is our job to shine. It is our job, our duty, our right to be the light of the world. We have to influence the world that we are in. It is a command from Christ. You are the light of the world. Don't hide your light. You have to take a stand as a Christian. You have to be able to say, I am the light of the world. I am going to light this room up. When I walk in, there has to be a difference in the atmosphere. You should literally change the atmosphere when you walk in the room. Literally. If people are sad, they're like, man, Bruce is here. I got to at least cheer up just a little bit. No joke. I know, and I've experienced that. Not that I've thought about it, but I've experienced when I walk in the room, things, you know, atmosphere change. Not necessarily who I am, but who is in me. Because no matter what I'm going through, I'm always a very positive person. Not to say life doesn't have burdens, life doesn't have problems, but I'm always a positive person because I know whom I serve. I know the end result. It's like you're going to take a test. You already know the answers.
It could be like the biggest test on earth, but it doesn't matter because you know the answers. It's like open book. You're like, well, I know the answer, so I'm not stressing. We already know the answer. We already know the outcome. We already know we are more than victorious. So we should walk positive. We should always have a smile on our face. We should change the areas that we are in. It is our job to give a helping hand to somebody. It is our job to cheer someone up because we are the light of the world. If someone's going through depression, which sucks, by the way, I've never been through depression. I felt it once when I was praying for somebody. It was the weirdest thing. And I'm like, God, I never want to go through that ever again. I never want to feel that feeling. And it wasn't for me. It was just, I was praying somebody. And I felt that dark cloud, suffocating darkness. It was the weirdest thing. And I'm like, man, God, I don't want this gift. But it was much. But it is your job to shed light into that person's darkness. You can't just expect to come in contact with people and not affect them. You have no choice if you are the light. Where there is light, darkness cannot stay. Where there is light, it can't, you see the lights are on, there's no darkness in here because the lights are on. As simple as that. It's a very simple equation. Where there's a light, there is no darkness. So if you're carrying this light in you, because you are the light of the world, that same light that was there when God said, let there be light, are you changing people around you? Are you illuminating people around you? Or are you covering your light? Is your light non-effective because you're covering it? Or are you letting the day-to-day life cover your light? Or are you letting the problems of the world cover your light? Because the more layers you put on the light, the dimmer it gets. The more troubles you put on the light, the dimmer it gets. You feel what I'm saying? The more covering you put on the light, the dimmer it gets. It might as well, after a while, it might as well be off. Because you've covered it so much. You covered it with your problems. You covered it with your issues. With your concerns. With your stuff. And it's all your stuff that's covering it. It's your dealing with this. Your stuff that's covering it. It's very rarely you see the world stuff covering your problems or your light. And what I mean by that, does world hunger really affect you that much? Because you get your meal. We're really never hungry. We're just to the next meal. We're never really hungry. We're never starving, per se. And really, we don't even have to go to Haiti or Africa or India to find hungry kids. They're right here in this country, which makes no sense because this is like one of the richest countries on earth. But is that really an issue for you? I was in Las Vegas a couple months ago, and Las Vegas being Las Vegas, you know, people are winning $1 million and you're losing $10,000 on the table. I mean, I've seen people literally put $5,000 chips, boom, 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 on the table and lose it. And yet you walk outside the casino, people are laying on the floor, homeless. But yet you just threw $5,000 on the table for a stupid game. Is that my issue? Am I making it my issue or not? Am I a light? Am I letting my own problems overshadow the global problems? Are we effectively changing the world around us? Are we concerned with our brethren? Are we concerned that this person down the street is homeless? We don't need to go far, but Newark. We don't need to go far, but down the street to see somebody begging on crack or whatever it may be. Are they your concern or are you just rolling up your window? You think Jesus would just roll up his window and drive by? Or are you being an effective light? And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't take an adult to be the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Whatever you have, you have to be able to give it. So point one, you have the light in you. It is your job, your duty. That same light that was before and that will be is now. And it is your job to shine in any capacity, in any way that you can. Pray for somebody. Prayer really works. No joke. It really, 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 really works. It really works. It really works. I have seen the evidence. It really works. Pray for someone. If you can't physically give them something, you can't physically feed them, pray for them. Pray that God will send somebody on their path that can provide for them. Like, God, I can't feed these people, but provide someone that can. Make a way for someone that can. I can't give this person a place to live, but God, put someone in their path that can. I don't have the capacity to do it. Put someone that does. Prayer works. You are the light. This is our job globally. The second thing is, we all have a talent that we have. That helps our light, by the way, illuminate. God has given us a talent. And we all know the story in Matthew 25 where about the people who were given talents. The three, one invest and doubled it. One got the same return. And one just kind of put it away and didn't get anything back. And from that dude that didn't do anything with it, it was taken from his talent was taken and given to that with whom had many. We all have a talent. We don't all necessarily have to be preachers, singers, pianists, and musicians, or whatever the case may be. But God has put something in us that has to shine. And just like the first guy that multiplied it, the more you use it, the more you'll be given. The thing about God is, He always make place for your gift. No one preaches the way I preach. Not to say I'm a great preacher or whatever the case may be, but no one preaches the way I preach because that's what God put in me. No one sings the way Lindsay sings because that's what God put in her. You know what I'm saying? Understand what your talent is, what your gifts are, where God has used you, and use that to your best ability. Listen, I will preach, and I made that promise to God, like to one person or to 100,000 person. I've been invited to a conference where you think we were small now. It was like five people there. And I tell you, I went hard like there was like 5,000 people there. They're like, this dude's going, he's going in. Like, he's really preaching. Like, it's only five of us. It doesn't matter because I'm not doing it for you. I know what God put in me. And I know what He's calling me to do. So I'm going to do it to my best ability for Him. I'm going to try this little light of mine. I'm going to let it shine as much as I can. That is our job. That is our call. That is our duty as young Christians. Christians of any age, this little light of yours, you have to let it shine because this world is dark. You have to be the light of the world because the world is only getting darker. It is our time to shine. We have to take a stand. We can't be cowards. When our faith is tested, we can't be cowards. When our faith is questioned, we can't be cowards. When someone said, this Christian thing, such and such, we cannot be cowards. Was Jesus even for real? We can't be cowards. You can't pray here. Yeah, I can. We can't be cowards. We have to let our light shine. We're trying to, if you look at it, this world is trying to conform you to the world. The Bible says, do not be conformed, but be ye transformed. The world is trying to conform you so hard. If you take a look at it, you're like, man, from inception, from birth, you are being conformed to the world. You're not being conformed to God's way. That's why we must repent when we come to Christ. Repent means change. Doesn't mean ask for forgiveness. Doesn't mean anything. It means change your thinking. Because God's like, man, from birth, you're being conformed to this world. Your light has been being dimmed from birth. You need to repent, change your thinking, and illuminate. And illuminate your surrounding. Be the light in your surrounding. Darkness cannot remain where there is light. It is impossible. Darkness cannot remain. When you step in the room, you are the highest spiritual being in that room. You are the brightest being in that room. Demons are supposed to flee from you. They're supposed to. That's their job. You come in, they're like, man, I better step back. Like, man, here's Cynthia. I need to put myself in a corner really quick because her light is really bright. You ever notice the demons in the Bible? They always come to Jesus. Man, what do you want from me? And that dude's just walking. Jesus is walking. He's like, yeah, I'm going this way. And they're coming. What do you want from me? Your light is, because his light is too bright. The light is too bright. And that's how it should be for you. When you walk in, and not to, don't ask that. Don't pray for that. But when you walk in, demons should be manifesting and kind of going out. Don't ask for that. That's kind of much. But I'm just saying, that's what it should be. I don't care how old you are. That's what it should be. Because you're the light. You're supposed to change your school. You're supposed to change your job. You are supposed to be the catalyst for change, for good, wherever you are. You are the change agent. You are the change agent. If you're looking for someone to say, man, something needs to change around here, you're the one who needs to make that change happen. If you're like, man, I feel like I need to go to a good revival. I need to get a good sermon. You better start preaching to yourself. I'm serious. Because I remember I said that. I'm like, man, I wish there could be a good revival somewhere. I need to go to a revival. I don't know what my mindset I was in. And the Spirit's like, well, why don't you do it? And I was like, never mind, I'm good. But, you know, so it's because you are the change. Because you are the light. Because when God said, let there be light, you were apparently included in that light. Because then he says, you're the light. He said, look, I said, let there be light. And then guess what you are? You're the light. Guess why? Because you're made in my image. The world is still dark. You still got work to do. So you can say, this is good. You have to be the light in your home. When you say, no, this is good. This home is good. When you walk into the house, it should be peace. It should be calm. You should be like, this is good. I don't care if you're a parent, child, or anywhere in between. If you live in that house, when you walk in, it says, this is good. This is my refuge because this is my home. There's nowhere else you could be a bigger light besides your home. No matter what your age is, if your parents are not being lights, you need to affect them and be lights. When I'm walking to my house, my kids are excited to see me, but I know whatever goes on in my house, we're like, yes, this is good. Me and my house, we serve the Lord. This is good. Like, what just happened? Halloween just happened. On my block, not that we made a statement, but nobody comes trick-or-treating in my house. We didn't come and say, no, we're Christians. Don't come here. But the neighbors know us, and we don't hide our faith. So they respectfully step to the next door. They don't trick-or-treat in my house because we don't do that. We don't do Halloween. And it wasn't nothing, like I said, it was nothing that Kathia and I went to the neighbors like, look, don't bring your kids over here. We're not about this. We didn't do all that. We never actually had a conversation with anybody. But we just noticed that they really don't come to our house. They go to the neighbor's house, they go across the street, next door, but they really don't come to our house. But, I mean, the guys that we hang out with, they know we're Christians. They know we go to church. They're like, you go all the way to Jersey on Sunday to church? I'm like, yeah, we do. It's kind of far. But, you know what I mean, we have conversations, and for whatever reason, they respect that. Because we take a stand for what we believe in. We try our best to be the light. And sometimes by accident we happen to be the light we didn't even know. But take a stand. Be the change agent in your neighborhood. Be the change agent in your school. Be the change agent at your job. Be that change agent. You are the light of the world. The world has to be important to you. Global issues have to be important to you. As much as home issues are important, global issues have to be important. You have to say, man, how am I going to use this little talent of mine to affect change globally. Christians need to think more globally. Because God wants us to go from Jerusalem to the end of the earth. Jesus was a global thinker. He wasn't just a local thinker. He didn't want to just stay in Nazareth. He was a global thinker. And it's never too young to start thinking globally. How does your ministry reach the ends of the world? I have visions for my ministry that's going to be crazy. And I'm going to try my best to achieve them. And only with God's help can I really achieve them because they're lofty. But nonetheless, because I understand God's calling. I understand I am a light. Not because I'm perfect, not because I'm this, but because Christ lives in me. He says, abide in me and I will abide in you. Christ lives in you. That same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is in you. That same light that started everything in Genesis 1. That same light that ends everything in Revelation 21 is the same light that is inside of you. What are you doing with your light? Where are you shining? Who are you illuminating? And not to go too far into it, but light is really closely related in the Bible to life. Where you see light and life, they're kind of parallel in the Bible. Because God didn't create life until the light was. Until he said, let there be light, he didn't create any life. They're very parallel. So your light, somebody's life is dependent on your light. Somebody's life is dependent on you shining on them. You're probably the only person that could save them from that whatever. You are the only person on earth that could shine a light in their dark moments. Just a word from you. Let your light shine. I know I wasn't amped today. I didn't get you guys amped. I'll get you guys amped tomorrow. But I'll get more amens tomorrow. I promise you. But today I want you guys to really think about whom you are. Whose you are. And start really making a change. And saying, I will let my light shine. Turn to your neighbor and say, let your light shine. No, but mean it though. Turn to them and say, let your light shine. Because when our lights shine, then it's really lights out for the enemy. Amen? When your lights shine, then it's lights out for the enemy. So you have to let your light shine. Because Jesus is in you. And that's the most important thing. The one that illuminates the world from the beginning and the one that will illuminate it at the end is in you. And that is very important. And I really want you guys to understand that. Because that will help you in the way you carry yourself. And the way you think. And the way you move. Is that Jesus is in me. So let your light shine. Don't let your everyday problems get in the way of your light. Don't let your physical problems get in the way of your light. Don't let your finances get in the way of your light. Don't let your finances cover your light. Don't let your situation cover your light. Because when you carry it around, it is noticeable that your light is dim. And then you are not effective in making change. Don't let your problems bring down your talent. Use your talent. Use your talent. Use it, use it, use it, use it. I promise you, the more you use whatever God gives you, the better you're going to be at it. The more you use it for God's kingdom, the better you're going to be at it. The more you're going to have. If you could sing, you better sing. And you sing, and you sing, and sing, and I promise you, you will be the best singer. Because you'll be affecting the world. You want your albums to be from Zimbabwe to Haiti to wherever to Europe. You know what I mean? You want your albums to be all over if you're a singer. Because that's what you want to do. You want to touch everyone. You'd be like, man, you know what? You need to be conceited in the sense that everybody got to hear what God putting in me. It's not a boast. It's not boasting. It's just saying, man, God put so much in me. I need everyone to hear it. No matter what your gift is. It's just easy because singing is just one of the more transparent gifts, so it's easier to say that. But some of your gifts may be just serving. Serve everybody. Be, you know, it's giving. You give and you give and you give. You can never outgive God. I heard a story about a pastor that gives 90% of his finances and he lives on 10%. So he tithes 90% and he lives on 10%. I pray I could get to that level. I pray I could get to that level where I can live. But you understand it. He's living on 10% because he's a millionaire. He's a multi-millionaire. He could live on 10%. But then being a multi-millionaire, he's giving millions and millions to God, to the works of the kingdom. You barely have $1,000 to your name, and you can't, you know what I mean? You barely make $60,000 a year. You could barely, and you can't give that 10%. That 10% hurt. You'd be like, man, I'm not gonna lie. That 10% hurt me so much to the point that my family and I, we decided we're gonna direct deposit our 10%. Because taking it out of our pockets, we're like, man, I could pay this with it. Or I could buy this. And you always something always come up with your 10%. Something always, the car breaks down. But if we got disciplined, we're like, look, we're just gonna give it before we even see it. Because now it doesn't even bother us. It doesn't even bother us. You know what? Because it's directly deposited. We're like, all right, we direct deposit the 10%, and then we worry about the rest. I pray that I could get to 90%. I pray I could deposit 90% into the church and live only 10%. That would be awesome. I will get there. That would be awesome. It takes discipline, but I will get there. Shine. This little light of yours, let it shine. Let it shine. No matter where you are, let it shine. Let it shine. Don't let anyone dim your light. Because you will have some quote-unquote haters trying to dim your light. Trying to say you're not as talented as you think you are. You can't preach as good. You can't do this as well as such and such. Shine. Let no one dim your light. You have Jesus in you. No one should be able to dim your light. Nothing should cover your light. On your job, I don't care what rules and regulations and stipulations they try to put in place. Trust me. Don't let them dim your light. If you want to pray for a patient, pray for a patient. I've had people pray for me. I'm like, you know, so if somebody must have been able to do it. If you want to pray in your school, pray in your school. I know people who pray in the schools all the time. Let it shine. Trust me. God got your back. He'll fight your battles for you. The battles that you're trying to fight, he'll fight them for you. In my store, we know. People know. We're like, Potty Miles, for example, I don't curse. And they know why I don't curse. Just because I feel like, you know what, I could express myself with other adjectives than curse words. So, and besides, I'm a Christian. So I don't like to curse. So they don't curse around me. Because I let my light shine. They excuse themselves if they curse. And I don't actually ask. Like, oh, I'm sorry, Bruce. I didn't realize I cursed. Honestly, I have never asked somebody not to curse around me. They just observe that I don't curse. And so I mean, it's one of those little things that I observe in my surroundings. I'm like, wow, Jesus, you really are shining. Not even me shining. I'm like, wow, Jesus, you really are shining. You really do make a difference. And that's what it should be in our day-to-day walk, in our schools, in our homes. We're supposed to shine. When we come to church, we're supposed to shine. We are the dimmest in church. I don't know why. You come to church and you're expecting to be entertained or something. And that's not even part of my sermon. This just came, like, you expect them to be entertained, like the worship team supposed to amp you up, and the preacher better give a good word, and I didn't say amen enough. What you bring to church? What you bring to the king? Because this is the house of the Lord, right? That's what David said. We are happy to go to the house of the Lord. This is the house of the Lord. What are you bringing? What are you offering? Just your attitude? Just your, I'm here. That's all you're offering? You better shine in church as well. Don't wait for Betty to soup you up and amp you up. Worship team can't soup you up. They're there to help you with the song. That's all it is. You're bringing your worship. You bring in your worship. You should be shining up in here. It should be like a million people in here, even if it's five of us. We should go hard for God every day. Go crazy up here every day. If it's two people, we're going to go crazy up here. Like I say, I'm going to preach like it was 5, 10, 10,000. Doesn't matter to me. I'll preach the same way. Because I'm doing it unto God. I'm going to shine for God. And I want him to say, good job. I want him to say, good job. Well done. While I'm on earth. Not only when I get to heaven, I want him to tell him, well done while you're here. Good job, Bruce. What a preach that word. You heard it from me and you gave it out just the way I told you to give it. I tried. Good job, Bruce. So that's what I want you to do. Shine. Let your light shine. Let's stand to our feet because we're not going to keep it too long. Like I said, I'm going to keep you guys much longer tomorrow. I promise. But today, we're going to stand to our feet. As we close out, I really want you to think about your situation. Think about your light. Are you being a light? Are you changing? Are you the catalyst for change in your surrounding? But before even all that, do you have the light in you? It's good if you want to change the world, feed the hungry, clothe the poor, so on and so forth. But you can't do it if you don't have Jesus. If you don't have the light in you, you can't illuminate. Without Jesus right now, you're in the darkness. And I promise you, it's better in the light. So quickly, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know him as the light of the world, if you don't know the Lord and Master, we welcome you to make his acquaintance. He desires to live in you. He desires to be with you. He desires to have a relationship with you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this is your chance to get into the light. That means we're all in the light, amen? Because you don't want to pass that moment up. There's no way you would want to pass Jesus up. Who does that? That's crazy. So that means you are in the light. So for those of us who are in the light, I really want you to do a deep self-examination right now. I know it's a little bit heavy for Thursday night, but do a self-examination. Are you illuminating your surrounding? Are you using your talents to the fullest of its abilities? Are you giving your all to God? Are you giving your best to Jesus? Are you being the best Bruce that you could be? the best Earlene that you could be for Christ? Are you moving the kingdom forward? Never get tired of doing good for God. Never get tired of doing good for God. Always push forward. Go hard every day for Jesus. To your dying breath, go hard for Him. Use your talent to the max. Make room. Push for your talents to have room. If there's no room for your talent in this place, it has to be someplace till God open doors, because there has to be a place for my talent to be used. I would not go quietly into the night. Right? Remember that poem? I will rage against the dying of the light. Be illuminated. Be the light. Be the change agent. And I want you, as we're thinking about it, you're about to pray for yourself. I want you to really ask God, if you're not being the light, to make you the light. If your light is covered up right now by the problems in the world, remove them. If you're held down by life situation, ask God to remove them so you can shine. So there could be room for your talent. The world cannot hold you down. Situations will not hold you down. The past will not darken your future. You are the light of the world. Let's pray. Father, right now, I come to you, God, for every person in here, including myself. God, we know sometimes we try and we fall short, but it's okay. Father, I ask that the places that we go, may we illuminate you. May we illuminate you on our jobs. May we illuminate you on our schools. May we illuminate you in our homes, on the street, wherever we go. May your light shine so bright out of us. May your light shine so bright out of us. People have to ask, what is different about you? People have to change around us. May we be the change agents, Father. Father, remove these obstacles that are in the way. Remove these shackles. Remove those blinds that are covering our lights from shining. Remove the dirt that's on top of the light that's stopping it from shining. Remove the shades, Father. Remove the darkness as we step into the light. As we will illuminate everything around us. We declare that we will be the change agents. We will use our talent to the max. Will we use our what you have given us to the max? Will we use our gifts to move your kingdom forward, Father? We will illuminate in a dark world. We will shine the light in a dark world. We will change a dark world into light. Move in us, Father. Hear our cries, Jesus. It is in the precious name, in the magnificent name, in the great name, the name that's above every other name, the light that was, that is to come. It's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Pastor would be able to come forward to pray us out and to bless us on our way.
Thank you very much. Let's pray. Adorable Père, dans l'unique nom précieux de ton fils Jésus, nous coupons fond, nous pouvons nous remercier. Merci Seigneur pour soirée ça, pour permettre nous capables de rencontrer ensemble avec nos jeunes gens pour première soirée, conférence annuelle. Merci du fait que nous t'avons invité, cet esprit est là, cet esprit dans la vie nous, et cet esprit a continué, l'aide nous, pour mener nos pas désirés. Merci pour les dirigeants de ce soir, que bonnes mains sont capables de continuer sur eux-mêmes, servir avec eux pour ta gloire, pour ton honneur. Merci pour les prédicateurs de ce soir, que même nous, cet esprit est capable de toujours servir avec lui. Chaque fois le camper pour le parler, nous sommes capables de glorifier. Le moment venu pour nous capables de déplacer l'enceinte là. Nous prions aussi l'ouvre les pères et nous allons bien. Peut-être que j'ai gens sont capables de réfléchir, capables d'agir à l'instar des chrétiens de Béré. Bonne parole, vous t'étendez. Et tout reste semaine dans la main. Nous prions aussi l'ouvre les marées, minotées. Tout l'esprit paresse, esprit jalousie, esprit querelle, esprit animosité. Fait que cet esprit capable mouve dans cette là, capable mouve dans le cœur jeune nous. Et non capable de glorifier. Nous avons toute grâce à eux. Accordez-nous un doux sommeil à soi. Bonne nous révélation concernant les choses d'en haut. Nous avons toute grâce à eux. Au nom et par le mérite, fidèle de Jésus. À lui-même seul soit la gloire, l'honneur et le mérite. Au siècle des siècles. Que la grâce de le Seigneur soit Jésus-Christ, l'amour du Dieu le Père, la douce et intime communion de l'Esprit Saint, reste et demeure dans nos cœurs, de venir à jamais. Amen. Allez en paix. God bless you.